Hallelujah. Today, scripture reading is Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31. I'd like to read. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. And a certain poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And so Abraham's far away, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. Today's title is the part 2, When a Person Dies, Where Does Their Soul Go? Last time we looked at the three kinds of death mentioned in the Bible. The first is a physical death, and the second is a spiritual death, which occurs when a person's soul is separated from God because they do not believe in God's word and do not obey it. When the first man, Adam, disobeyed God's command not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden, he was expelled from the garden, which was a spiritual death. This spiritual death led to Adam's physical death at the age of 930. The third type of death is eternal separation from God, resulting in eternal damnation in the lake of fire. As descendants of Adam, we have become beings who inevitably face spiritual death and physical death from birth. However, God, who has mercy on us and love us, sent Jesus to reunite us with him who had been separated from him out of compassion for us who were dead in spirit and flesh. And he not only gave those who believed in Jesus eternal life and hope, but also recognized them as living before God so that they would no longer experience spiritual death. He has given us the hope of living in anticipations of the day when he will transform our mortal bodies into spiritual bodies. That day is the day of the Lord's return. Therefore, he emphasized that we do believe we must preserve our souls and bodies without spot or blemish before God. Until the Lord comes, we must win two great spiritual battles on this earth. The first is the battle against our outer self. The first is the battle against our outer selves. We must overcome the fleshly desire within us that seek to drag us back into sin and death. Excuse me. The second is the battle against our eternal enemy, Satan. The key to victory in all these battles is the word and the prayer. Only by obeying God's word throughout our entire lives, putting it into practice through our words, thoughts, and actions, can we become victorious. Our enemy, Satan, knows that his time is short, and even now he is making his final desperate attempt to deceive those who believe and those who are chosen, seeking to drag them into the lake of fire with him. We must never forget this for even a moment. Did not the Lord warn us? At the Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning." And also, we can find at the Matthew chapter 24:24, "For false Christ and false prophet will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect." Such things are repeated and even more powerfully among the last saint. According to the Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, "Woe to earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time. Therefore, no matter what deception comes from the world or Satan the devil, we must keep the new life that has been given to us and remain alert and sober in our faith, so that we may stand before the Son of Man when our faith reaches the full measure of Jesus Christ." Let's look at the Luke chapter 21, verse 36, in the Jesus Christ encouraged to us, "But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Do you know what the devil's most powerful weapon is to destroy our faith that he wanted to keep awake and guard? It is the material things, wealth. In today's passage from the Luke, there are two people. One is an unnamed rich man, and the other is a beggar named Lazarus, whose name means God's help. However, the Bible does not give a specific explanation as to why the rich man went to hell and the beggar Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. When you compare the two, the only difference between them is that one has rich and the other was poor. That does not mean that rich man went to hell and the poor man went to heaven. However, we can sufficiently infer from the Bible as a whole why the rich man went to hell and the beggar Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. It is because God is a God of justice and judges us according to all our deed. According to the Proverbs chapter 24, verse 12, "Does he not consider it who weighs the heart? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work?" And the scripture in the Luke chapter 2, verse 6-8, the scripture said, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignations." And I'll give you another one. Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, Jesus said, "Will then the recompense every man according to his deed." Here, there is a point we must pay attention to. It is their names. In the Luke chapter 16, verse 19, the rich man has no name, just a certain, right? So the Lord mentioned their names not to teach his disciples their name, but to show what kind of life they lived in this world. In other words, the rich man lived a life of luxury, enjoying everything he desired, but since he had no life before God, he became a nameless person. Doesn't another rich man who envies such a life come to mind? Let's look at the Luke chapter 12, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He was called a foolish man by God. A foolish man is one who does not understand the will of the Lord. Let's look at the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Who is the foolish man? So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. However, Lazarus the beggar lived a life of poverty, but he knew that nothing on this earth could comfort or help him. So he lived his life relying only on God as his help and comfort, and therefore God called him Lazarus. And regarding the outcome of such a life, the Lord also speaks of how the situation is reserved after death. Let's look at the one more time is Luke chapter 16, verse 20-23. Please remind that. Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, he lifted up his eye, being in torment. The Lord explained the reason why they must be separated into Abraham's bosom and Hades after death as follows. Let's look at the Luke chapter 16, verse 25. But Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' bad thing. But now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. The result of focusing solely on the wealth given by God during one's lifetime is suffering. But for those who believe that God alone is their comfort and lived accordingly, even though they endured material hardship on earth, they now enjoy perfect comfort and rest. This is not just all about the material things. God gives the perfect comfort to those who endure all hardship and suffering for Jesus and for the world in this world. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3-5. This is a very important verse. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Amen. What we must clearly understand is that the true wealth comes from our relationship with God. Relationship with God. The rich man lived his life thinking that material wealth was everything and boasting about it. But in God's eyes, he has nothing but a miserable, pitiful, and poor man. What did the Lord say to the church in Laodicea? Let's look at the Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Actually, the Laodicea church is very rich. But God said, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, rich and miserable and poor and blind and naked. However, Jesus called the church in Smyrna, which regard God as its only help and strength, rich. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich and blasphemed by those who say they are Jew. What does the parable of the foolish rich man point out as his foolishness? It was because he was rich only to himself, not to God. It's like according to the Luke chapter 12, verse 21, that Jesus talked to the rich man. So, is the man who raised up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God? However, Lazarus, the beggar, found God through his suffering, and God gave him the riches of faith so that he was finally welcomed into Abraham's bosom. So according to the James chapter 2 verse 5, listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? God is telling us today, remember this, in the Luke chapter 16 verse 25, child, that is the rich man, remember that during your life you received your good things. In other words, the rich man and Lazarus went to Hades and Abraham's bosom respectively because God weighed their deed while they were alive and rewarded them according to their deed. Clearly, money and possession themselves are not evil or immoral. Material wealth and riches are a precious gift from God and become a blessing. What is important is how one handles the wealth and the money that has been given for the Bible ones that he determines one's destiny. Above all, God wants of the poison that material abundance bring to believer. According to the Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 13 to 14, I like to read, and when your herd and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget the God, Lord, your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Wealth can steal our heart. When we have a lot of possession, we live in a world where money can buy anything and we can become arrogant without realizing it, forgetting God. Furthermore, humans, greed and love for wealth are endless. God says that we are incapable of self-control by nature. According to the Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10, he who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with its income. These two is vanities. He also warned us that when material things become the purpose of life rather than a means to an end, and we become obsessed with money and the material things, all kind of suffering will come upon us. The more we are obsessed with the material things, the further we drift away from God. However, the joy that material things bring numbs us to such sufferings. That is why he said that his love of money is the root of all kind of evil. Let's look at the 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10. I like to read, for the love of money is the root of all sort of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pain. This is because they followed money and abandoned their faith. The Lord clearly spoke of the danger of money and possessions, the limitation of human beings in dealing with them, and the need to choose what is good. Jesus said from the Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." From the mammon, this is wealth and money. The Lord said that the people cannot serve both God and wealth as a master at the same time. Here, the word love is derived from the Greek word agape, which refers to God's divine love. This is a warning that the material wealth, the money, cannot take the place of God in our heart and be loved and served as God is. The Pharisees are a prime example of this. When Jesus said that one cannot serve both God and wealth, the Pharisee mocked him. Let's look at the Luke chapter 16, verse 14. "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, and they were scoffing at him." Why did the Pharisees mock the Lord instead of feeling guilty in their conscience when they heard his word? It was because they believed they could serve both God and wealth. Even after this warning, there are still many believers today who weigh God and the wealth against each other, trying to hold on to both. We see many people who profess to believe in God, yet sometimes waver in the face of money and put their spiritual life on the back burner. When material things become the Lord, all priorities shift. My life is beginning to take precedence over God. I prioritize my home over the church. What is frightening is that even though they know the relationship between wealth and God, they dare to try to walk the tightrope, believing they can control that boundary. We see far too many people around us who, while claiming that wealth is necessary to live in this world until the end, are not merely needing it, but are obsessed with it. However, when one claims to control it by one's own strength rather than by faith, one is bound to fail 100 times. This is because of the nature of human desire. Just a little more would be enough. Such a small desire can grow endlessly. That is the nature of human desire. That is why the Bible admonish us. Let's look at the 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. "And if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content." Amen. Let's look at another one. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. "Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have." Isn't this God's promise to take care of us? The Lord has also clearly spoken to us. Let's look at the Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 32. Jesus said, "Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Above all, we must be careful not to view faith as a kind of insurance to get to heaven. We think that the sins we are saved by believing in Jesus, we can now live as we please with peace of mind. Since they are part of the church, they decide that their priority is to earn money, enjoy themselves, and live peacefully while they are in this world. However, Such a thought and lifestyle are completely opposite to what God desires for his peoples. Following Jesus is not simply receiving a ticket to heaven, but placing in my footsteps in the footsteps of Jesus and following him. However, what is the state of our faith? We boast that the success, stability, and abundance that the world speaks of are evidence of God's blessing, but are we not living life that is loyal to ourselves rather than truly loyalty to God? What is the state of our faith today? Can we clearly and certainly choose God over mammon? The world says that today's choice determines eternity. That is correct. Today, you and I stand before the stern words of the Lord. When we finish our lives on this earth and return to God, we must stand before the living God in Abraham's embrace, as described in today's passage, by making the right choice. Our life is in this world is nothing but a passing shadow. Can we grasp a shadow? A shadow is an illusion that vanishes in an instant. In the Psalm 144, verse 4, the scripture said, man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. I give you another one. Psalm 39, verse 6 to 7, surely every man walks about as a phantom. Surely they make an oblow for nothing. He amass riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in thee. Therefore, our perspective on life must change. I'm not saying that you should not earn money. I am saying that a successful life is one in which you prioritize what is important. We must clearly understand that if we fail to do so, our final destination may not to be where we want it to be. By staying alert and paying, we can overcome mammon, overcome the fleshly person within us, and become new people who live forever. Amen. Whether we receive praise from the Lord for doing well depends on the thought, words, and actions we have in this very moment. Let us pray together. Amen.